Heavenly Father, you are good, God. You saved us, Lord. You have given us life, Lord God. And God, it is you that we want, Lord. You are the treasure of heaven, God. You satisfy us, God. Outside of you, there is no life, God. We are desperate for more of you, God, to see you in your glory, God, to behold you more, God. You are our life, Lord. So feed us just with yourself, Lord God. Let us come closer and deeper to you, deeper to your heart, God. That is enough, God. You are enough, God. So just more of yourself. Reveal, God. Speak to your people, God, through your word, God. Will you feed our souls, God? Even words I don't say, God, will you just prick their hearts, God, as they look at your word, God? Will you say something that gives them hope, God, that gives them strength, God, that keeps them keeping on, God? Speak to your children, Lord, through your word, God. Amen. So as I said today is more just of a meditation because, again, I got the call from 12:30 at night, so I didn't have a sermon prepared because Pastor Brian is going through Revelation. And so what I thought I would do today is to comfort you how God comfort me. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talked to the Corinthians and he talks about how God comforted him so that he could comfort others with the same comfort that he received from God. And so that's really what I want to do right now. I want to comfort you with the same comfort that God gave me through his word. So I pray that it speaks to your heart this morning as we look at Psalm 63 or as we reflect on Psalm 63, and that it provides you comfort, that it does something in you when you look at these words, that the Holy Spirit begins to pluck your heart and change you and do things in the inside for his glory. So that's really the hope here. And so we'll read through and meditate here in Psalm 63. I don't know if we'll go through all of it. I do want to leave time for Fernie to come up and give his testimony. So we'll briefly look at some of these verses here. Probably the first stanza for sure, meaning the first five verses. But then we'll see at the others. But first, we're just going to read through the whole thing, and then we'll come back and really dig into it some more. All right, this is Psalm 63. This is a psalm of David. Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. All right, the word of God reads, we're here in Psalm 63. I'm coming out of the NASB. Verse 1 reads, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly, or some translations may say early. And if you are a writer here, if you are a musician, a poet, just look at the poetry here that the psalmist is going to write. But look what the Holy Spirit is a poet, if you didn't know just the words here. But look what he says through David. He says, my soul thirst for you, my flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. He says, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will what? Pray. Come on, I'm gonna say that again. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will what? My lips will what? Why will his lips praise God? Come on now. Because of what? Better than life. There you go. He's showing you have a reason to praise God. He's telling you right there why he is lifting up the Lord in praise. Then he says, verse 4, so I will bless you as long as what? I live. I will bless you as long as what? And then what else will he do? He says, I will lift up my hands what? In your name, come on now. Then he says, my soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness. That's the, all right, I'm explaining it, but that's the good part of the meat, right? And then he says, my mouth, and my mouth offers praise with what type of lips? Joyful lips. I'm not mad, disgruntled. My mouth is offering up praise with joyful lips. Look at what he says in verse 6. When I remember you in my bed. So where is he at now? He's in his bed, okay? He says, I will what? So who is he thinking about at night? Okay, I will meditate on you in the night watches. Verse 7 says, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. Verse 8, my soul, look what he says, my soul clings to you. Amen. Your right hand upholds me. Verse 9, but those who seek my life to destroy, they will go into the depths of the earth. He's talking about his enemies, the enemies of God. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. Satan, that is your destiny right there. They will be prey for the foxes. Verse 11, but the king, talking about David here, will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will what? Glory. For the mouth of those who speaks lies will be what? Stopped. So this is Psalm 63. This is a psalm of David. We all know who David is, right? King David. So now let's look at how this psalm starts. He starts off in verse 1. He says, oh God, you are what? My God. He's making that thing personal. He's making it, he's saying, you are my God. See, there was a time in my life, saints, where I was really into apologetics. Anyone know what apologetics is?
Yeah.
Neil, you raised your hand pretty quick. What is apologetics? Huh? Oh, okay. You raised your hand like you knew. Defending the Bible, right? Defending the faith. So I was really into apologetics at one point in time in my life where I wanted to defend the faith against like evolution and science and all other false religions. And so I was really into that. But I realized at a point in time that, yes, I was doing it to defend the faith, but I was also doing it to convince my own self because I was having my own doubts. But I got to this place in my life where I said, man, I don't care what nobody thinks. I know the Lord is real. I know he is good. I know that. I got to the place where I'm like David, where I say, oh God, you are my God. I don't care what nobody else thinks. I don't care what nobody else says. I'm going to say, God, you are my God. And I pray that all of us are in that place right there. Where I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my cousin says. I don't care what my friends and them say, my coworkers. God is my God. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you believe. I can say affirmatively that God, yes, the Lord is my God. I'm going to make it personal. He is my Lord. He's my God. And my question is, saints, have you got to that place where you can say it just like David, God, you are my God? That is the place you want to be, where you are just, I don't care whatever stuff you, whatever argument you want to bring. I didn't met the Lord. He's too good. I already know him, so I don't care about your arguments. The Lord is my God. That is my God right there. So I pray that you all get to this place like David, because that is where he's at. He says, God, you are my God. And then he says in the next verse, I shall seek you earnestly or early. That means diligently. Meaning, God, you are the pursuit of my heart. What is the pursuit of your heart, saints? Can you read this verse and say, God, I am seeking you earnestly with all that I have. It is you that I want. If that what wakes you up in the morning when you go to your Bible, it's like, I want you, God, I'm seeking you. Is that what causes, is that why you get up? Because you want more of God. Are you seeking him earnestly, saints? Is that the desire of your heart? To seek him earnestly. That is where we all want to be like David, saying, God, you are my God, and it is you, not the things of this world, but it is you who I'm going to spend my life pursuing. It is you and your love that I'm going to go after more and more and more. It is you, God, that I want. Is that the prayer? Is that the prayer? Is that the cry, saints, of your heart? Can you say this in truth, that God, it is you that I am seeking earnestly. David did it. But I pray that, saints, you could say this same verse in truth, that God, you are my God, and it is you that I seek more than anything else. More than anything else in the world. It is you. It is you, God, that I want. And now let's look at the poetry here that he goes into. Look what he says. He says, my soul inside of him, right, thirsts for you. And he says, my flesh, let's say outside of him, my physical body, he says, yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Do you see that? Can you make this statement here? He says his soul thirsts for you. But think about what he said, where he's at. If you look at Psalm 63 under the title, I don't know what title you have in Psalm 63, but mine says, it's titled, The Thirsting Soul Satisfied in God. And then underneath it, it says, A Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judea. Now, this word wilderness could also mean the desert. And so David says here in verse 1 that he is in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So think about this. If you are in the middle of a desert, if you're in a dry and weary land, what do you think you're going to be thirsting after and seeking after? Water. What do you think your flesh is going to want? It's going to want water, right? Why? Because you are in the middle of the desert. You're in a dry, as David said, and weary land. But David, despite him being in the desert, despite him being in the wilderness, what is the desire? What is he truly seeking above everything else? He said, it's you. So he's in the midst of a place where everybody else, naturally, you'd be saying, the thing that is on my mind is shelter. I want to get out of the heat. The thing that I want is food. I want that steak. I want that water. I want to drink after that. But even though David's in that situation, he's not concerned with those things. The thirst of his heart, truly what he wants is God, no matter what situation he is in. And that is, saints, where we want to be. That it doesn't matter what situation, it doesn't matter what's going on. God, you are the thing that is ultimately going to satisfy me. Yes, you can give me this water and I'll become thirsty again. Yes, you can give me natural food and I'll become hungry again. But God, it is you who will really satisfy and feed my soul. He says, all of me wants you. My spirit wants you. My flesh wants you. Everything that's a part of me is longing and seeking after you. He just wants God. And saying, see, you can't say this until you've actually tasted God and known that God is good. That's what Psalms 34:8 says. Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And unless you have tasted and seen and understood that God is good, you probably have no idea what David is saying here. These are just words, but when you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you realize that God, you are really the satisfaction of my heart. You are what I truly want. And so that is why David is saying here, in the midst of this dry land, the thing that my heart and my body is aching for and longing for is you, God. And this is the thirst of your heart, soul, saints. What is your soul saying? What is your soul right now thirsty after? The world is thirsty after fame, right? The world is thirsty after notoriety. The world is thirsty after money, material things. The world is thirsty after, oh, I need to accomplish all of my goals and all the things that I want to do in my life. That is what they're seeking. But are you seeking God, the thing that's really going to satisfy you? Because everything else in life will not satisfy. The material things of this world would not satisfy the thirst that is inside of you. There's this philosopher named Pascal, I forget which century he said, but he says that inside of every person there is a God-shaped void, a God-shaped hole, and that only God could fill. So you can try to put all of these things inside of the hole. You can try to put money, fame, dreams, relationships inside of this hole, and it won't fit. It is only God that can satisfy and plug that hole. Nothing else will satisfy. And that is what David is saying here. It is you that I want because you are the only one that satisfies, saints. Everything else in the world will fail you. It is only God who will really bring you that true satisfaction and satisfy that thirst that is inside of your soul. So David is saying, even though I'm in a dry and weary land where I should be wanting water and food, I want the thing that's really going to satisfy me, and that is you. That's what we should want, saints. It is the Lord. And look what he says now in verse 2. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. See, now he's giving us the reason why he's thirsting after God, why he wants him, why his flesh is yearning for him. He says, because I have seen you before in the sanctuary. And once you've seen God, once you beheld God, once you beheld his glory, all you want is more of him. That's why you get up and you read your Bible. Why? Because you've seen God, you beheld him, you've seen his word, and it satisfies your soul. So now you're just saying, God, I just want more of you. David said, I seen you in the sanctuary. And what you got to understand, in the first century, what this meant, in the first century, God allowed his presence to dwell in a special way in the tabernacle or in the temple. So David was just desiring to be near that tabernacle. Why? Because God's presence was there. And so that's why he's saying, I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've seen you on that holy ground place. And David is desiring to be there because why? God's presence is there and he wants to meet God again. That was in the Old Testament, but now because of the Holy Spirit, saints, we don't have to long for a sanctuary. Now because of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to long for a temple. Now because of the Holy Spirit, God's presence is wherever we go. Wherever we go, we can make that place holy. Wherever I go down on my knees and I call out to God and the Holy Spirit is there working, that place becomes the sanctuary. That place becomes holy. So if I'm in my car on my lunch break and I'm pouring out to God, that place now, that car seat that you're sitting in, not car seat, but when you're sitting in your car, that car now becomes holy ground. It becomes the sanctuary where now you can meet with God, or whether you're sitting in your room, wherever that place is, and you fall on your knees and you begin to go in your word or you begin to go in prayer, that place now becomes holy ground. It is a sanctuary where you can begin to experience God. That is the beauty of what we now have in Jesus. In the Old Testament, they needed to be by a physical tabernacle. They needed to be there in Jerusalem. But now because of Jesus, we can go wherever. I can go in my office. I can fall on my knees and that office now has become holy. I can go in that living room and sit on that couch and go on my knees, then that living room becomes holy. I can go to the park, fall on my knees, open up his word of God. Now that park becomes holy. That park becomes a sanctuary. Why? Because I'm communing with God there and I'm beholding and seeing his glory. So it's wherever the saints go, that place becomes the sanctuary. And when David says, I've seen you in your power and your glory, what he's talking about is those times, you know, when you get into your word and you're at awe because you're seeing the glory of God. You're seeing things new in his word and it just has you stuck where you just want to stay there all day. That is what David is talking about, where you're just beholding his glory. Have you ever had those moments, saints, where you're just in his word and you just seeing and you just never want to leave? You're just like, whoa, God, you're so beautiful. Lord, look at your power. Look how you were working right there in the Old Testament, saints. Look how you were working in the new church, in the New Testament, when you're just beholding and you're stuck there. That's beholding and seeing God's glory. Or when you're going in prayer and it just feels like God is right here in the room and you just feel his presence. That's beholding and seeing his glory and his power. And so David is saying, I just want to go back there because in the sanctuary I've seen you, I beheld your glory. And that is what he's longing for. And that is something that we should be desiring every day. God, I just want to behold your glory. I just want to see you, Lord. I just want to feel your presence. God, I just want to see you near. David is saying, that's what I want. I've seen your power in the sanctuary. That's why I'm thirsting after you. I know that vision that I've seen. I've seen your glory. I knew it. So now I just want more of it in my life. More of it and more of it. Because I've seen your glory, your power in the sanctuary. Now in verse 3 he says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Have you encountered God's loving kindness, saints? When you meditate and think on the cross, do you see his loving kindness? That should lead you to praise. That should lead you to opening your mouth when you have seen and understood the glory of God. David says, I've seen it. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So that is why, saints, I would say anytime we come here and we praise God, you should have a reason to praise. Why? Just his loving kindness alone. His loving kindness is what came to you when you were dead in your sins and you were enslaved to the prince of the power of the air. You were going the other way against God. You were being a rebel against God. You were an enemy of God, the word of God says. But his loving kindness came and woke you up. That should give you enough to want to praise God. That should be enough. The fact that you're no longer who you used to be. The fact, like I always say, you're coming here on Sunday with your right mind. You're not coming here Sunday hungover from being at the club last night, right? But now you are a new creature where that club ain't even cool anymore to you. That should give you enough to want to praise God, that he changed my mind. I'm here on a Sunday morning with my Bible in my right mind praising God. Why? Because his loving kindness came and it sought you out in the midst of your darkness and it pulled you out of that darkness and brought you here to where now you're praising God. That is enough to praise God, his loving kindness. The cross was his loving kindness. That he would come, God the Son would come to this earth, live a holy life, and go and die on the cross for you and I so that we can be reconciled to God and to know him truly. That is his loving kindness. And David is saying, because of that, I'm going to praise you. That's why it should never be silent when we praise God, saints. We always have a reason to praise God if you met and know his loving kindness. Verse 4, saints. He says, so I will bless you as long as I live, and I will lift up my hands in your name. So as long as he lives, David is saying, can you say the same thing, saints, right now? God, as long as I live, as long as I am on this earth here, guess what? I'm going to bless you, mean I'm going to praise you. I'm going to speak a good thing about your name. That's what that means, to bless you. It's to speak a good word to God. It's to praise God. He says, I'm going to bless you as long as I live. Can we say that right now, saints? As long as I live, God, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to speak a good word. I'm going to praise your name, he's saying here, as long as I live. And he says, I will lift up my hands in your name. One of the things that I love that I do from time to time is when we're praising God, I'll sometimes open my eyes and I'll look over at everyone. And I just love when I see people like this. That's what he's talking about. I will lift up my hands, praise unto God, to your name, to the name of God. And I just love that. That actually brings me more into worship when I'm just seeing, man, they're worshiping the same God that I am. They're communing with him just like I am. And that's what David is saying here. I will lift up my hands in your name. I love it. Verse 5, my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. So I mentioned earlier, the marrow and fatness, that was the good part of the cow or the animal that you're eating. That's the filet mignon, right? That's the ribeye. I don't know my steaks like that, right? It's that really good part. When I go to Tokyo Steakhouse, I love getting a filet mignon, right? It's just so soft. Marcus knew what I'm talking about, right? That filet mignon is so soft. That's the rich part. That's the good part, the marrow and the fatness. He says, my soul is satisfied as with that. He said, my soul is satisfied as if I ate this really good steak, right? I had this really nice Tokyo Steakhouse. What's the other steak place? Roof Chris. It's another one I'm missing. What is it? Texas West? Texas West, sure. There you go. What is it? Cattleman's. Just whatever, just imagine you ate. Yeah. All right, forget the steak. Let's go with a different analogy. Go with your grandma or your auntie's favorite dish, right? Imagine that. Imagine when I eat my Aunt Bert's, her sweet potato pie. When I eat that, boy, I am satisfied. It puts me in the zone when I eat her sweet potato. Or when you eat your, give me some dish that your grandma, your auntie, your cousin makes. Jasmine, I heard you can cook, which I didn't even know. So when Jasmine, I heard you made, what you made last week? What was it? Chicken? Chicken tinga, okay. Anthony or somebody was telling me that you made it last week and they was just, woo, feeling good. So when Jasmine makes that chicken tingle, or what is it called? Dinga. Ah, he's speaking Spanish on me. Okay. But you know how you feel good when you eat that nice meal? You feel satisfied, or you have some comfort food. They call it comfort food because you eat it. They say you want to sit down and get comfortable and unloosen your belt. Why? Because you feel so good. You feel full. That's what David is saying, how I feel about God. He said, that's what God does to my soul. He said, God is better than your grandma's favorite dressing. God is better than your auntie's favorite dish. He said, it is, my soul is satisfied with you, God. And that is true. Only God can truly satisfy us, saints. There's so many things in this world that say it's going to satisfy, and they are a lie. They will not satisfy you. It is only God that will really satisfy you and hit that itch inside of you that nothing else in the world can do. And we'll spend our whole life chasing things that will never satisfy us. But God is the source, my young people. You don't have to waste your life going and just doing crazy stuff to get to this place to realize that God is the thing that satisfies you. Right now, you can begin to call out to the Lord, and he can come to you, and you will feel and understand and know what we're talking about here, that only God will satisfy you. Your dreams, your hopes, all those things you think, they will fail you. Friends will come and go. Relationships will come and go. But only God will satisfy you. He is that marrow. He is that rich part. And he is the thing that will satisfy that deepest longing inside of you. It is only God. And so that's what David says. My soul is satisfied. His internal parts, the deepest parts inside of him. He said, it is satisfied with you, God. As if I ate a great nice steak. You are the one that satisfies me. And because of that, he says, my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. Meaning I'm joyful when I'm singing. Why? Because I know that God is good. I've tasted and seen that God is good. So nobody's forcing me to do this thing. My mouth is naturally singing with joy. Why? Because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so there's nothing I could do but to offer up my mouth in praise because of God that I've seen and known. Amen. Let's do a couple more verses. We'll do six, and I really just want to do six. Six, David says, when I remember you on my bed. So now he's talking about at night. And the reason I want to go here is because I know a lot of us, or some of us, nighttime is the worst. Some of us, it's hard to go to sleep. We toss and turn at night. We have no peace. We do everything to try to get to sleep. Night can be tough, even for me. I'll admit that sometimes that's the hardest thing for me is night, because I'm thinking about tomorrow as if tomorrow's given to me. But I'm thinking about tomorrow. I'm worried about tomorrow's problems today, which Jesus said you should not do. But I do that. I'm sure many of us do that from time to time. But David's here, he says, when I remember you on my bed. David has given us some help here. He's showing us where our mind should be when we lay down at night. He says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Saints, what are you meditating on in the night? David has given us help here. He's showing us what our mind should be at night. He says, when I remember you, meaning he's thinking about God at night. So what are you thinking about? I always say this to saints. We really need to think about what we're thinking about. What are you thinking about at night when you lay in your bed? David says, I'm remembering you. I'm meditating on you in the night watches. So what are you thinking about, saints? When you lay down at night in your bed, what is going on in your mind? Are they things of God? Are they, as Philippians said, things that are good, holy, pure? Are they those good things? Are they praiseworthy things? That is what we should take with us tonight to when we go to bed. Take the word of God or try to meditate on it. Oftentimes we may take a movie that we really shouldn't be watching because that movie will affect us at night in our dreams. Our thoughts. That's what happens with me. Many times I'll go to bed and I'll look at something I shouldn't look at, and it affects the things that I think about sometimes. So you really got to take what David is saying here. Who are you remembering in your bed? Where is your mind going in your bed at night? What are you meditating on? Meditate on God. Meditate on his word. Read a scripture and get that scripture. And as you're laying down in bed, begin just flipping that scripture around in your mind, trying to just understand it, looking at different angles. I would also encourage you, something that I do from time to time is I'll go to YouTube and I'll put on the audio Bible. And I'll just let that play. I know, Grandma, I think you do that too. I'll just let that play at night while I go to sleep. I just want to hear the word of God. I just want the word of God just being all in my system. So saints, really think about what you're thinking about at night. Look at the word of God and let's be like David. Let's start remembering God as we lay down at night. And try not to focus on tomorrow, because tomorrow's not promised. But focus on the right now. Think about the things of God, things that are pure, lovely, holy, praiseworthy, as Paul told the Philippians. Those are the things we should be thinking on as we lay down at night. And then I'm just do 7 and 8, and then we'll stop here. He says, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy." Can you just imagine a baby bird, an eagle or a chicken, I don't know. And can you imagine them just, the mama bird has her wings open and a little chicks is just underneath. They feel so secure and safe there. That's the image that David has given us. He's like, "I'm like this little bitty bird and you're the big mama bird." Yes, God. All right, I'm not going to go there for now, but still, you see this type of illustration all throughout the Psalms where God is his mother hen, so to speak, and he has his wings open and his little babes are right there inside of his wings. That's what David said. That's how I feel. I feel safe there in the shadow of your wings. He said, "I'm going to sing for joy there." Why? Why can he sing for joy there? Because he feels comforted. He knows that God has him. He knows that my father is there. So I can sing for joy because I know who's protecting me. I know who has my back. I know who I'm safe in the cover of their wings. And so he said, I can sing for joy there in the shadow of your wings. Why? Because I know who has me. I know who's going to protect me. I know who's right there. And so that's why he can sing for joy there. And lastly, he says, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." He's like, God, you have me. So my soul is clinging to you. God, you, by the power of your right hand, you have me. So I'm resting in you. My soul is clinging to you because you are my everything. You are all that I have, God. So I'm clinging to you because outside of you, there is no life. There's nothing else. I've already tasted the world and I know that there's nothing else. So my soul is just clinging to you, God, because you are life. You uphold me by your right hand. Praise God for the Holy Spirit here, working in David to pen this psalm for us, so that many, many years later, we can see it and still reflect on it and have that same impact on us that it's having on David to cause him to even write this. Saints, if this is not you, if you read parts of these verses that don't speak to you, my hope is that you'll pray for God to do these things in you. If you're saying, "Brother Jerome, I'm not feeling that thirst for the Lord, that yearning," then okay, make that the desire of your heart. Go to the Lord with that. So this is not to shame you if you're not feeling this. That's not my intent here, to shame you. But my intent is hopefully that if you're not feeling and seeing some yourself here, that this will not become the prayer of your heart. To where God, "Yes, God, I want to thirst for you like that, like David, Lord. Lord, I want my flesh to yearn for you, God." And if you say, "Man, I just haven't seen his power and his glory," then let that be your prayer, saints. God, help me to just see you in your glory. God, help me to behold you like the psalmist says here. God, help me to just see you in a different light, in a way that I haven't. Make that the desire of your heart, saints. You can say it, but are you going to go and pray about it afterwards? You can say, "God, yes, I want to thirst for you," but are you really going to start yearning and really praying about it? Are you just saying it here? But let this desire follow you to when you go home and tomorrow and the next day, where you say, "God, I'm not thirsting for you like I know I should. God, I'm trying to find my satisfaction over here." Tell him, "Lord, I just want to thirst for you. I just want to be satisfied with you, God. I want to know what David meant when he said the marrow and fatness and how his soul is satisfied. God, will you begin to just help me to experience that satisfaction?" That should be the prayer of your heart, saints. That you want to know and understand what he's saying here in the scriptures in truth. So take this and ask the Lord to do it in you, saints. Pray. Let that be the prayer. Because now you know God will do it. Why? Because you know you are literally praying the will of God when you ask those things. The word of God is the will of God. So when I pray this, I am praying the will of God. When I'm praying and asking for marrow and fatness, that my soul will be satisfied, that is the will of God. This is God's word. So you can know that this is something that God hears. This is his will, right? So pray God's word, saints, is what I'm saying. Pray the scriptures. when you see David talk like this, if you're like, I'm not talking like this, ask the Lord to help you, saints. And that's what I ultimately hope that you get from us just going through here in Psalm 63 and meditating. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray, and then we'll have our brother Fernie come up and speak to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, God. Oh, God, I pray that you work in my brothers and sisters that are here, God, that they can sing and read this psalm in truth, God. God, will you just help them to grow in you, Lord, that they just may feel more satisfied and content in you, Lord God. Oh, God, that they will sing praises to you with joyful lips, Lord God. Oh, God, satisfy that thirst in those, Lord. And those, God, who don't know you, God, will you show them that you are the fountain of living water, that only you can satisfy the deepest longings inside of them, Lord Jesus. Help them to come know you, God, and to be satisfied in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. Bless your people today, Lord God. Amen.